Alan, I do have a couple of questions, but I'll take that out later, as we have Steve. Awesome. So, Steve, we are just going to let them go, thinking that...
I was sent to the wrong room.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. So good. So, once again, just a reminder that this is a general track, and we are just before the network break, and this is G12C, and I have with me Steve Taylor from Intel, and he's the Federal Technology Specialist, and he is going to do a case study on hybrid cryptographic module validation technology challenges. So again, we're going to hear what challenges have, the different company faces based on what type of products that they have. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you. So I'm going to do this informal. I don't have a lot of PowerPoint. Anybody here work for a hardware company? Good. OEMs, ODMs, manufacturers. This is something that I hope you'll get some value out of. If you're just doing FIPS validation for software, I think a lot of the challenges that we faced, you will not suffer from them. This thing keeps automatically advancing on me, so I'm just going to take it out of slide presentation mode. So the abstract that I had was, when I thought about doing this presentation, was that for security modules, particularly those getting hardware modules, and in particular we did a hybrid module, so it's hardware and firmware, there are some particular challenges. And then when you combine that working for a large company like Intel, you have certain process challenges. So I think that the challenges that we faced in getting our crypto module validated, they kind of broke down into two categories: process challenges, which I think any large company will face, and then some of them were technical challenges that I'll speak to as well. But what we did was we started this project back in 2015. Now I can't, it keeps advancing, auto-advancing. I'm going to have to go like this view. In 2016, August of last year, we got a FIPS Level 1 certification for our Platform Controller Hub, or PCH, that is in either embedded in or discreetly attached to our 6th-gen core and 7th-gen core business SKUs. So that's typically means our vPro brand. Everybody here familiar with vPro? Anybody hear about that whole AMT vulnerability 2 weeks ago? Good, no one heard about it. Okay, we're not going to talk about that. But we do use this cryptography in the CSME. CSME is our converged security and manageability engine. Well, we use this for a couple of features and use cases. It does all the crypto for one of our identity protection technologies, which is used in two other solutions, one that's called DataGuard and one that's called Intel Authenticate. And if you wanted to, I could show you like the architecture of the PCH as it relates to the CPU and share some more product information about our CSME and how it's used with this FIPS validation. But I thought I would focus today mainly on those types of challenges that we had in getting a hybrid module FIPS validated. So from our perspective, all the heavy lifting was in the IUT, or the implementation under test phase. All the engineering resources went into that. One of the problems we have is that, these technologies just kind of show up at Intel and they keep getting worked on and nobody really knows who owns them or where they came from. And so when you organize a group of people that say, yes, let's go get FIPS validated, you actually have a hard time locating the right people that are responsible for the underlying technology, that understand it well enough to be able to work with the test lab on all of the things that are necessary in the IUT phase. Also at Intel, we were dealing with a group of managers and lawyers that were unfamiliar with FIPS validation. So we would either have to continually explain why we wanted to get FIPS validation and what the business case was for that, or we would have to explain the relationship with the test lab to legal to be able to get all the NDAs in place to allow them to look at the source code in our organization. I just came out of I was in the wrong room next door, and there was a guy from Cisco talking about all the different variations and some of the OEs associated with getting FIPS validation. And he was talking about all the different CPU combinations that you could have and all the different algorithms. We kind of suffered from that too. When we first looked at this, we thought that we would be getting a CPU FIPS validated. And then we thought, well, how are we going to do that? We've got so many different CPUs in the family. We can't possibly get them all through FIPS validation. And then when we started to peel away the layers of the onion, what we realized we were really doing was getting the PCH FIPS validated, because that little chipset is where the actual crypto module lives and the crypto executes. So this was really good news for us, our partners, our OEM partners like HP and Dell, and all of our customers, because by getting just the PCH FIPS validated, then any platform using that PCH was inherently FIPS validated for these use cases in this crypto. So we didn't have to go out and look at all of the different CPU flavors in the Core i3, i5, i7, Core i5 vPro, Core i7 vPro, and think about which ones we were going to specifically FIPS validate. And we didn't have to worry about FIPS validating a whole platform like the Skylake platform or the Kaby Lake platform. By just doing the PCH, we were able to make the most out of this investment, because that PCH showed up in both our 6th-gen Skylake platforms and our 7th-gen Kaby Lake platforms. So we got one FIPS validation, and it works for, I'd say there's probably, across those two families and all the business SKUs that this applies to, it's probably, you know, 50, 60 different CPU combinations with platforms. So once we understood that internally, then we could communicate that externally. And that made things a lot better. So I think if I were giving advice to another hardware company that was looking to do this, I would say have a clear understanding of exactly what you're doing and what you're specifically FIPS validating and technically where it lives and what that means to your product line and what you're doing with your partners. And that's important to get that out front, because you'll waste a lot of time and cycles if you don't understand that up front in the way you communicate it internally and externally. Technical documentation, same thing as the technical resources. You have work that's done years ago, and engineering just kind of builds on that and builds on that. And so when the test lab comes to you and says, we need the documentation for this, yeah, you kind of look at them with a blank stare and go, okay, well, who wrote that? How many years ago? Where are we going to find that, right? And again, this might be just something that only big companies suffer from, but being able to actually lay our hands on some of the documentation that was required of us was a bit of a challenge. Then we have resources. Once we were able to provide them the documentation, they started boiling it down, writing their reports and the stuff that was going to get submitted. Then we had to have the resources available to review it. That wasn't too hard to find those resources, because they were already engaged in the project. But for some reason, if they didn't have the expertise, then we would have to reach out, find subject matter experts to chime in, answer things that the lab was asking us. If we didn't have the answers, we'd have to go find those SMEs, or we'd have to hunt down more documentation. I think the biggest, so most of those are process related, legal, understanding what you're doing and being able to communicate it, locating resources and documentation. That's all process related, and I think the fact that we're so large and we're Intel, we suffered a lot from that going through the FIPS validation. The next one, I think, the technical challenge, I think would be relevant to any company that was going to do a hybrid or hardware-based FIPS validation. Unlike software, when you go through some of this testing, where software, it's kind of easy to take your data sets and run them through your algorithms and get the output, it's much harder with hardware or a hybrid solution. As I mentioned, we were getting our PCH, a little chipset, FIPS validated. This PCH, we actually bundle it in the CPU package on some of our SKUs. So it's a tiny microscopic piece of silicon that's a component of the entire CPU package, and then that gets covered up with plastic and all that stuff in the heatsink. So being able to connect directly to that little piece of silicon is pretty much impossible once it's in a CPU package. Fortunately, we also bundle this PCH as a discrete component that is paired with some of our CPUs. So we were able to get access to it externally. But the important thing I'm trying to relate is that... If you're going to be doing hybrid or hardware-based FIPS validation, as early as you can in the process, put together an engineering plan, all right, after you come to an understanding of how you have to do the CAVS testing, make sure you have a good understanding of how you're going to physically do that. For us, we always thought that we had a way to get that done until we went to actually do it. And when we went to actually do it, we figured that what we thought we were going to be able to accomplish for the test requirements was not technically possible. So we had to scramble at the last minute. This put our project, it delayed it by a few weeks while we scrambled to figure out another way to approach assembling a test harness to be able to hook up to the PCH to do all the CAVS testing. So my advice would be, if you're doing a hybrid or hardware-based FIPS validation, know in advance or think through in advance exactly what you're going to do. Who are the resources that are going to do the testing? Who has perhaps chips that you need or hardware that you're going to have to assemble on a bench? What does the test harness look like? Who has it? What's required to do it? And maybe even do a dry run to make sure that everything can be assembled and performed and work right before the test lab actually says, okay, now it's time to do the test, the CAVS testing. We're flying out to your site. We're going to do this. Or here, we want you to do it before we fly out. If we're fortunate, Intel, that you know we engineer this, we manufacture this, and we ship it. We're kind of unique in that respect. If there are other hardware companies out there, they probably have a supply chain where they're not in control of all of the elements of their manufacturing process like we are. So I think it would be particularly challenging for other original device manufacturers or original equipment manufacturers to be able to do what we did all in-house. So that's another thing to think through if you're thinking of hybrid or hardware-based FIPS validation. What in your supply chain is external to you that you're going to need cooperation from a vendor to be able to make this happen? You know, all our resources were in-house. Hard to find them, but they're all there. But I could imagine that if I were doing, you know, if I were working for an ARM manufacturer and I was getting, you know, silicon from somebody else and just doing the design in-house, that I would need help from other people in my ecosystem, and that presents a whole different host of challenges with respect to NDAs, lining up those resources, making those tests work, etc. And doing all the documentation when you've got multiple companies involved instead of just one large company involved. And then lastly, because we only did a level one validation, we didn't actually have to worry about physical security analysis. So that was kind of a blessing, although we do have plans to take some of our future PCHs through FIPS validation again with a level two, so we'll have to climb that mountain soon enough. But if you were doing hybrid or firmware at just a level one, you don't need to worry about physical security testing. Any questions at this point about, you know, what we went through and some of our challenges for a hybrid module? No? Anybody interested in seeing what the architecture looks like? I'll share that with you real briefly just to put a little bit of context to this. So our... PCH is shown, the PCH services off to the left in that diagram down in the bottom right corner. So this is our, when I say PCH, if you're unfamiliar with our architecture, our converged security and manageability engine is kind of our embedded controller that accompanies all of our core processors and our Xeon processors. Actually, all of our processors have a CSMA now. But the PCH is not actually the CPU, so it's not doing things like our AES and I instruction set and other things. It's just doing cryptographic operations for those instructions that are running inside of our CSME. So this isn't something that you as developers would be able to tap into and take advantage of unless you were working with an SDK that was taking advantage of our crypto module at a higher level in the stack. No questions?
What led you to do a hybrid module as opposed to like a firmware or a hardware only at level one?
Because the PCH is both physical chipset and firmware running on top of it. So we were forced into a hybrid. The solution itself doesn't work. It's not all just hardware, and it's not just firmware. It's physically a hybrid module.
Okay,
does that make sense?
In a way, because I mean, I work for Oracle, and we had sort of a similar strategy when they first did Solaris. I mean, they did a hybrid approach, and it didn't really work with our Spark processors. But I'm just wondering, you know, did you also get any consulting help when you first engaged in this? Because it sounds like you tried to map out a strategy with the lab, and it was like you're going here, and then 1 minute, and then you're going here, 1 minute, and then you're finding out all of these things as you're going through the validations. Oh, by the way, we never thought about this, like interfaces for doing functional testing or algorithm testing and things like that. So just wondering if you had
We didn't actually have a consultant. What we did instead is we worked with our test lab, and they did an assessment prior to us engaging in the contract to do the FIPS validation.
Okay.
So that initial assessment effectively was our consulting, and that kind of gave us a feasibility study to see whether or not this was going to be capable and just how much effort it would be. And then after the assessment, we went into the FIPS validation with that same test lab.
All right, one final question. If you were to do this again, would you do this as a hybrid, or would you do it as a hardware validation?
I'd have to do it as a hybrid.
Have to do it as a hybrid?
Have to. Yeah, but we can't do it as one or the other,
okay,
just because of the way it's built. Was there another question?
Quick question, because we need to break, and then they have to set up this room for the panel.
The key and secret storage there. I mean, you're bringing, since the hybrid, you're bringing the firmware and validating
yes.
as it comes in.
Right.
So, I mean, key storage, is that all inside that module?
No. We would use a TPM for the key storage. Yep.
Yeah, it seems like that's a specific question. All right. Thank you very much, Steve.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. And once again, we have a break now for 20 minutes, and then we meet again in this room to hear a different set of problems, not the specific problem, but the vendors facing while they're doing certification, what other issues that come up and how they solve it, all right? So that's a different angle to the same issue. Thank you again. See you soon. Thank you, Steve.